you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Well, it's interesting. Andy's sermon last week on balance, I'm not sure if you were here. Fantastic message. And many ways of hearing from God on what I'm going to preach. Sometimes it's just through reading scripture. Sometimes it's through someone's sermon. Sometimes it's just an idea that pops into your head, but rarely is it the guy that's preaching the week before on the platform telling you what you're going to preach. But Andy certainly did that well and put me right in it. So just for Andy, and nice that he's not here tonight too, by the way. He's not even here. He's asked me to preach about it, but he's not here. Maybe next week Andy can do a sermon on the four horsemen of the apocalypse, or maybe start a Revelation series or something. So that's what Andy's doing next week, if you're here. I'm only joking, Andy. I know you'll be listening to the podcast. So let's pray. God, we just thank you for tonight. We just thank you for your word. We thank you for today and what you've already spoken into our midst. And I pray as we continue on this theme of foundations, you would speak to us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So it kind of really, as I was sitting there last week and Andy was kind of prodding me and I was having a bit of a laugh about it, I felt God prod me as well and said, well, maybe it is something that I need to work in with Andy on his sermon on balance. But I'm tonight, the title of my message is Lord of the Sabbath. And something that's been running through my mind over the last few weeks is about God's principles. And one of the things that we know about God's principles, that whether we agree with them or not, they don't change. And the outworking of those things don't change. Whether we agree with them or not, we might like them, we might see that they don't work for us in our lives, but the reality is that God's principles don't change. And so I just want to start by reading from Mark, so we can put that up on the screen. And it's Mark 2, 23 to 28. And it's one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick up some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of," what's his name? Abiathar? I think that's what it is. We'll go with that. Anyway, Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man made for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And so from the start, I want to take the law out of the Sabbath. Let's take the law out of it. And let's look at it from a different point of view tonight. For with Jesus, when he spoke, particularly with the Pharisees about it, he took the letter of the law out of the Sabbath. And he said things like, if your ox or your donkey falls into a ditch, I can't remember which animal he used, there's no point just leaving it there because it's a Sabbath. You may as well deal with the issue on the Sabbath. So what he said was, let's not have the letter of the law on the Sabbath, but he did say that it was still important. So Sabbath, the word, comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, and it simply means to cease or to rest. So let me ask you a couple of questions before I get into the meat of this tonight. Do you have a day of rest? Do you have a day where you cease to work? Do you think it is relevant or it is important to have a day of rest. What day do you have if you have a day of rest? And what do you do on your day of rest? What is lawful on the day of rest? What do you do on your day of rest? And do you think it's beneficial? Just some questions that I just wanted to put into your head. So let's go to Exodus 16, 22 to 30. Now, can you just take that off the screen, Cayman? Sorry, just quickly. I just want to give you a bit of background to this scripture. So what's happened here, before we get into it, is that the Israelites have just found freedom. They've come out of captivity. They've crossed the Red Sea and they're out of captivity. And so they have basically started their 40-year journey that was only meant to be 11 days. But they started off on the wrong foot. And one of the things that took place straight away is they started to whinge and moan to Moses about their food supply. Not just about their food supply, but they began to whinge and moan about everything. And so what took place is that basically there was enough food for each day, if I can simplify it as best we can. And so what would happen is some of the people would take more food than what they needed. And what would happen is that God would supply enough food for the day and it would be okay, but some people would take more than what they needed and it would rot and get worms and everything for the next morning. But God had supplied their very need. And so what we see here, this is before the Ten Commandments. This is before the Ten Commandments came into being. And so if we can take that from there, basically they were whinging and moaning. And this is what it came to. So we put that up on the screen. So let's read together from Exodus 16, 22 to 30. Now on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread to omers for each person, and all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake and boil what you will bake and boil today. And all that remains left over, put aside for yourselves to keep until morning." They put it aside until morning, as Moses told them, and it did not become foul, nor was it wormy. That's what happened. It was getting foul or wormy. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none in the field." So even if you wanted to go into the field, there'd be none. So God was not going to supply manna on the Sabbath day, but he supplied enough for every day of the week. Now let's go to verse 27. "Now on the seventh day, some of the people who went out together, but they found none, so there was none there. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long do you people refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? See, the Lord has, and I've underlined it, given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you the bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Let every man stay in his place. No man is to leave his place on the seventh day.' So the people rested on the seventh day." So that is pretty much the first mention of the people's rest of the Sabbath. And as you'll see, there's an earlier rest that we'll talk about. But that's pretty much the first mention of it in the Old Testament. So I'm going to skip forward 4 chapters to the Ten Commandments. All right, so this is the fourth commandment. All right, so if we want to read it together, if we can go over to the next one, Cayman, you got that? Remember the Sabbath, the seventh day to keep it holy, to set apart, dedicated to God. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath, a day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. And on that day you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the temporary resident, the foreigner, who stays within your holy city gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the seas and everything that is in them, and he rested. He ceased on the seventh day. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. That is, set it apart for his purposes. Thus became a sign of the covenant between God and Israel at Mount Sinai. So that is the fourth commandment. Keep the Sabbath day. So when we consider this, now some of you might be saying, so, well, that's old covenant, that's old, that's not relevant. Well, let's get into a little bit of what the Sabbath means and what it is. So I've got six quick things that I want to go through. And the first one is, if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me. So if we can take that one down, Cayman, and go to Genesis 2, verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. Now let's just think about that. God, speaking from his mouth, called things into being. It just happened when he called it. And I reckon if he is the creator of all, all-knowing, all-powerful, everything's in his hand, if it's good enough for God to rest, then I reckon it's good enough for us to rest. I reckon that's pretty important. If he's all-powerful and we're not, and he has a rest, then I reckon it's good enough for us to have a rest. Okay, let's go to number two. The second thing is, God's pattern or ways aren't the same as Egypt. So if we go back into Genesis 16, and I explained a little bit about this before, but I just want to go back a step and just read this. The whole congregation of the Israelites grew discontented and murmured and rebelled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the Israelites said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and ate the bread until we were full, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill the entire assembly with hunger." That's a nice whinge. That's a nice whinge and moan. Now, understand the picture that we have here. This is very relevant for us. So when we were saved, when we became Christians, we essentially had the same picture of coming out of captivity, out of Egypt, and into God's side of things. And when we see that scripture, that would that we have died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and ate the bread until we were full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, the entire assembly. When we see that, they're just thinking about how it was in Egypt and about how it used to be. They're looking back and they were happier about the captivity they were in. And you know what? Sometimes we look at the things of God and we say, I just like it the other way. The old way of doing things was better. That was a better way of doing things. But you know what? With God, we don't get everything revealed to us. We can't mark on a post. We can't mark exactly all the things that benefit us when we become Christians. And sometimes we kick against the things that God asks us to do or wants us to do, and he says that there is a blessing attached. But our thinking is an Egypt thinking. Our thinking is an incaptive thinking. And we think, well, it was so much better to have all that food. Well, I don't know whether God's that concerned about the food. He says he'll supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. But God's in the character building business. He's not in the business of wanting to fix our tummies all the time, as much as it's good to get have a good feed. And so I read a commentary under which came under the scripture where it explained the actual fourth commandment. And the commentary said this, it was in my NIV Bible, so and it says this. You shall not do any work for two reasons, which were described one in Deuteronomy and one here. And the first one, the first reason that they gave here is having completed his work of creation, God rested on the seventh day, and the Israelites are to observe the same pattern in the service of God in the creation. Now that scripture, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There is a pattern of the world that we see. And these days, you know, one of the things when I was growing up as a kid, and it was a long time ago now, but one of the things that when I was growing up as a kid, and I don't think this is something that all of history hasn't dealt with, this whole Sabbath day thing, but when I was a kid, one of the things that happened is that if you had a problem with if you needed something painted at home, generally you would get a painter to do it. If you had an issue with building, you would get a builder to do it. You would get all tradespeople, you get different people to come out in their expertise, and they'd do that Monday to Friday. But now, on top of the work that we do that we're employed to do, we spend the next hours in the week, like Andy was talking about the hours that we do, fixing up homes, doing other things that, you know, I don't know whether we're meant to be doing that. And we're not taking time out to rest. And we're taking on the pattern of the world, because when we fix up a home, when we renovate a home, and I'm doing one at the moment too, so the challenge is here for me, that gives us extra money. But it takes away time to rest. It takes away time to consider the things of God. And so don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't get sucked in. God's ways are higher than our ways. His way of thinking is different to some of ours, and we are transformed, we're sanctified into his way of doing things, and it's a better way. So, okay, so the third thing, that last thing was God's pattern or ways aren't the same as Egypt. So the third thing, and if I can get someone, can I get a volunteer to help me here, please? Julia. She can ride. Wow, he's fallen right in. Julia, it's your turn, Julia. Julia, can you grab that bike here and don't ride it up on stage, but if you can bring it up on stage. Julia's going to help me out. Give Julia a hand, everyone. Woo, Julia. You can probably lift it up. Do you want me to lift it up? It's light, isn't it? I've actually had a chat with Jules before now, so she knows what's happening here. You shouldn't tell them. Well, they're going to get it. Come over this way so I can interview you. This is Julia's bike, by the way. It's not. It's from the maintenance shed up there. Cool. You like the bike? Yep. So where are you going on the bike, Julia?
I'm travelling to Sydney.
To Sydney on the bike. Why would you go by bike if you can go by car?
Oh, it's good exercise.
It's good exercise. So what are you going to Sydney for?
To work.
To work.
Yeah.
How many days work are you doing in Sydney?
I just work one day a week.
One day a week. And you ride a bike all the way to Sydney. How many days did it take you to ride to Sydney?
It takes me about 3 days.
3 days to ride to Sydney. You work one day and then you ride back 3 days.
That's correct.
Wow. That's a long way to go and a long time to get there with a bike. So, Jules, what would you say if I gave you the keys to my car and said, why don't you take my car?
No, I'll stick with the bike.
What's going through your minds at the moment? She's what? She maybe, well, you know, have you got a license, car license?
Yeah.
but you want to ride the bike anyway. Yep. You'll be exhausted by the time you get up there. Then you'll work a day and then you'll have to ride back. And you don't want the gift of the car.
No, I'm good.
Okay, give Jules a hand. You can go now, Julia. You can go to Sydney. You better get riding if you're going to get there by Wednesday. Of course, this is an illustration. So my third point is that the Sabbath is a gift. And if we read in Exodus 16, 29 to 30, it says, "See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. The Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you the bread for 2 days, and on the sixth day, let every man stay in his place. No man is to leave his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. God has given us the gift of the Sabbath. He's given it to us. So it's a gift. And we see in Mark 2:27 that Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." So this is a gift. So when God gives us a gift, how silly would it be when God gives us a gift to say, "No, no, I know better than you, God. I don't need a rest day. It's not something that's necessary in my life. I cope just fine without it." Let me just go back a step. God actually asked his people to rest the land as well. He said, he talks about a rest, and he talks to the people about land, resting the land every 7 years where the crops are on. So use it for six, and on the seventh you rest it. And so you keep doing that, and then come 50 years, it's a year of Jubilee where everything turns around. I'm not going to get into the year of Jubilee now, but every year God says, rest the land, no matter whether you want to work it, rest it or not. Now, for many years, people have tried to debunk this theory, but it's now proven that if you rest the land every 7 years, that the crops will be more fruitful in time. But for many years, there's been people who thought that they were smarter than God and better than God. But he has a reason and a purpose for doing things. And so we may not totally understand the outworking, but we know there's blessing that goes with his command. Okay. So number four is a quick one. And number four is the Sabbath is a matter of trust. And I wrote something down here. Why do we keep working when we could rest? And I think one of the obvious answers is because we are not finished. We're not finished the work, so we don't rest. If we rest, we won't finish. But do we trust God enough to put something down and rest and say, "God, I trust you that it will work out if I go by what you say, if I take your gift and rest"? Do we trust God enough? This is a trust issue, to rest, to take time out, to consider him, to stop working, to cease, and to see if his principles work. Okay, so number six, and this is where the discussion comes around with this commandment. So the question is, and I'm not putting as a question, I'm putting as a statement. It is for today. The Sabbath is for today. And the question will be, or is it just Old Covenant? Well, let's have a bit of a discussion about this. So Romans 7 and 12 says this. And this is Paul speaking. And he says, "So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good." Now, can I be really clear so no one gets this mixed up tonight? We don't live under law, but we are under grace. We weren't saved by obeying the law. We are righteous through what Christ has done for us. Okay? So, obeying the commandments is not going to get us into heaven. What's going to get us, unless we obey everything 100%, what is going to give us heaven is the acceptance that Jesus Christ is Lord and Saviour and he died for our sins and that he rose again. That is what's going to get us into heaven. So please don't go away from this thinking I'm putting law on you, because I'm not. Okay, but there is something very, very important here. So if we say the Sabbath is just Old Covenant and Old Testament, let's go through this. So let's have a look at the list of the Ten Commandments. So if we say, well, no, the Sabbath is not relevant today, it's not going to have an outworking today, let's have a look at a couple of these commandments. So the first one is, you shall have no other gods before me. Is that still relevant today? Is that relevant? Okay. You shall make no idols. Is that relevant today? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Pretty relevant. The fourth one is keep the Sabbath day holy, but we'll come back to it. The fifth one is honour your father and your mother. Pretty relevant. The sixth one is you shall not commit murder. So do we say, okay, don't worry about it, it's okay, we will just forget about that commandment because it's not relevant today. It doesn't work. We can just go and commit murder. Should we say that? Is it relevant? It's relevant. You shall not commit adultery. Okay. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. And you shall not covet. Now, I would say, let's take the second five of those commandments. I would say they're things that we can actually see and understand the outworking of. So Graham, last week, spoke a message on consequences. So is there a consequence to adultery? Would we say there's a consequence to adultery? Would we say there's a consequence for not honouring your father and mother? Would we say there's a consequence to stealing? I reckon there is. So I would have to say that there is a consequence for not keeping the Sabbath day holy. Now, we may not be able to see the outworking totally. Now, this is going to get heavy. There were three commandments that came with them, the death penalty. Okay? And guess which is one of them? Keep the Sabbath day holy. That's what came with the fourth commandment. Now, how's that relevant for us today? Well, if we don't rest, do we die a slow death because we don't rest our bodies? We don't rest our minds. We don't rest our spirit. Does it have an outworking? Or is it just that commandment that we put aside and go, well, it can't have an outworking? Now, we're not under law, we're under grace. But there's always a consequence in this life because God's principles don't change. They don't change. Now, can I tell you, this has been a real challenge for me. When Andy and I spoke about this, he asked me, how is this relevant in my life? And a few years ago, probably about 6 or 7 years ago, God really challenged me about doing odd jobs around the home on a Sunday. Now, essentially, Sunday's pretty much a work day for me. Okay, but I used to love going home and just doing things around the house and everything like that. And God challenged me to put down my tools and to stop working and to just rest. Now, it wasn't a law thing, but it was a challenge to my life. And I found that so hard. I found it so hard to stop. But in time, it's got easier and easier. And you know, one of the outworkings, and I know it's hard to describe, is that I just don't have this need to finish the job at the cost of my family anymore. That's one benefit that's come. And if I get halfway through something, unless it's going to fall apart, I can put my tools down and I can rest. And I can spend time where I need to spend time. And with these things, there has to be an outworking for not keeping the Sabbath day holy. Now, I just want to back up what I said. This is not about law, but it's about grace. Colossians 2, 16 to 17 says, therefore, let no one judge you in regard to food and drink or in regard to the observance of a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Such things are only a shadow of what is to come, and they have only symbolic value. But the substance, the reality of what is foreshadowed belongs to Christ. And I think one of the things that's a reality, and I want to try and keep it as simple as I possibly can without confusing things, is that not everyone gets a revelation on the Sabbath day straight away. But slowly but surely, as we get closer and understand God, we recognise that God is about our benefit. He gave us the Sabbath day. And so when we link that and death, I think it's he knows that if we work ourselves to the bone, that in the end we're going to die a quicker death, and we're not just talking physical, we're talking spiritual, than what we would otherwise. And I think that it is a really powerful thing to consider. And let me ask you again, do you have a Sabbath day where you rest, where you cease? Now, this is not law. I'm asking the question. So number six, Exodus 31, verse 13. Number six is, keeping the Sabbath day sets you apart. Exodus 31, verse 13 says, but as for you, say to the Israelites, you shall most certainly observe my Sabbaths, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, so that you may know without any doubt and acknowledge that I am the Lord who sanctifies you and sets you apart for myself. That is another powerful principle. People will know that we are his when we take the Sabbath. The Lord who sanctifies us. Now, sanctification is a process of us coming more and more into the greater understanding of the things of God, and it's our growth process. And so that's the best way to simplify that. So number six, it sets you apart. So I'm nearly up for time, but I just want to finish with these three things. So keeping the Sabbath day rests your body. It rests your mind. And there's a scripture that's really powerful with that. Isaiah 25:3, it says, you will keep in perfect peace and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is committed and focused on you in both inclination and character, because he trusts and takes refuge in you with hope and confident expectation. He trusts. He believes what God has given us as a benefit. And he trusts, even though the Egyptian way is to keep working, he trusts and he takes time out. And the third thing is, it revives your spirit. I'll just quickly go back through those six things. Firstly, excuse me while I get back there. If it's good enough for God, it's good enough for us. Second thing is, God's pattern or ways aren't the same as the world pattern. The third thing is, it's a gift. The fourth thing is it's a matter of trust. The fifth thing is it is for today. It's not just old covenant. And the sixth thing is it sets you apart. Let's pray. Lord, I understand this is can be a heavy subject. But God, the reality of your word is it's here to benefit us. And this is a difficult one in a world in which we are so busy, as Andy spoke about last week, and there's so much going on. And Lord, I love your heart, and I love the fact that this is not a line in the sand command, but it is a benefit and a gift from you that you have offered us and given us. So, Lord, so often we say, well, if I don't do this, then I won't make that money. If I don't do this, we won't be able to buy this. But there's so much bigger things in play here. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about living a life that is more than what the world says is okay. And so, Lord, I pray, as you ask us to pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done in the hearts of people here now. And Father, if there's got to be some adjustments to schedule, I pray that they would take place. And Lord, we just thank you for the power that there is in your word and understanding your word. And God, I pray that, you know, it's even been a challenge to me with this taking the Sabbath day. Am I taking enough of a rest? And Father, I pray that we would hear your words tonight very clearly and we would act on them. It's not just as simple as saying that's a nice message, but we would act on what you're asking us to do. And so, Father, we just give you thanks for these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.